Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Hi, friends. Jason Scott here, CEO of JCS Marketing. I want to personally invite you to My Ag Night on November 2nd. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, it's Jesse Waters from Fox News Channel. Hope to see you at My Ag Night on November 2nd. It's going to be a night you will not want to miss.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is joining the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in recognizing the issue of food loss and waste. According to the FAO, 13% of the world's food is lost in the supply chain, and an additional 17% of food is wasted in households, food services, and retailers. The organizations are making a call to action for public and private entities to reduce food loss and waste, which can play a key role in increasing the availability of food worldwide. CDFA's commitment to helping Californians reduce food loss and waste includes a CDFA commercial feed regulatory program, promoting human food byproduct diversion to create animal feed, the CDFA rendering program, promoting the process of breaking down animal byproducts for industrial uses, the CDFA Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation, promoting composting through the Alternative Manure Management Program, and the Healthy Soils Program, as well as the CDFA Office to Farm to Fork, which is committed to increasing food access points. For more information on resources, log on to the FAO website. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced a final rule amending the handling regulations for the federal marketing order for almonds grown in California. The amendments change existing authorities for quality control, exempt dispositions, interest, and late payments. The amendments also indefinitely suspend obsolete sections 981.466 and 981.467 and align requirements of the marketing order with current industry practices. The final rule also makes conforming changes to clarify handling requirements and includes changes to make the administration of the marketing order more orderly. The final rule appeared for public inspection in the Federal Register on September 29th of 2023. It will be effective 30 days after it has been officially published. More information about the marketing order is available on the 981 California Almonds page on the AMS's website. Information about federal marketing orders is available on AMS's Marketing Orders and Agreements webpage or by contacting the Market Development Division. Authorized by the Agricultural Marketing Agreement Act of 1937, marketing orders are industry-driven programs that help producers and handlers achieve marketing success by leveraging their own funds to design and execute programs that they would not be able to do individually. AMS provides oversight to fruit, vegetable, and specialty crops marketing orders to ensure fiscal accountability and program integrity. Crop production in Santa Cruz County last year showed a modest uptick from the previous year, with a 1.5% growth totaling more than $666.9 million. As usual, berries in 2022 remain the primary driving force in the county's agricultural output at 60% of the total yield, and a 3.4% growth with strawberries far outpacing their bush-bound colleagues. That is according to the 2022 crop report released recently by the Santa Cruz County Agricultural Commissioner. According to the report, more than 2,500 acres of strawberries brought in well over $220 million, a 4.2% increase from last year. Meanwhile, vegetable crops garnered their fair share of economic input, growing 5.6% with more than $101 million in value. Additionally, grapes had a good year, increasing 24% to $5.9 million. Nursery crops, including cut flowers, decreased 6.4% to nearly $128 million. Agricultural Commissioner David Sanford called 2022 a solid year. He says the agricultural sector continues to grow and contribute to the local economy. The 2022 crop report demonstrates that local agriculture is thriving and supporting local families, while products continue to be enjoyed across the nation and throughout the globe. The report does not reflect the losses to cropland sustained during the storms, since a lion's share of the rain and flooding occurred from the January to March time period. There were significant losses on both sides of the Pajaro River, according to Sanford. Monterey County took an astronomical loss. The storms and flooding damaged crops, caused delays in planting, and put some fields out of production. Still, farmers are rebounding and recovering from the damage, he said. He went on to say that growers in Santa Cruz County are super resilient and super diversified and adaptable to what they're dealing with. Santa Paula-based Calava Growers is proud to support Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October by featuring pink PLU labels on avocados found on produce shelves nationwide. The pink labels will be applied to all sizes of Calava avocados, totaling over 50 million to be used during the program. In 2023, nearly 300,000 women were diagnosed with breast cancer, the most common cancer diagnosis. Healthy eating patterns, which include plentiful produce and unsaturated fats, have been associated with better breast and colorectal cancer outcomes. Avocados are a powerful, nutrient-dense superfood containing nearly 20 vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients in a single serving and boast healthy unsaturated fats that can act as a nutrient booster by helping to increase the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins A, D, K, and E. Their hope is that they can leverage Calava's wide reach as one of the largest global avocado purveyors to remind shoppers to take proactive steps in their health journey by getting screened early and regularly and bring awareness to the need for continued research to find a cure for cancer. That according to Gordon Brachini, Vice President of Sales for Calavo. He says that breast cancer affects women across the globe, including in their own families and industry. He says they are proud to promote Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October to continue to keep breast cancer at the forefront of the conversation. Calavo avocados adorning the pink PLU stickers began rolling out the last week of September and will continue to brighten up produce departments through the month of October. Organic grapes in California will see an early end to their season following this summer's notable rainfalls. Craig Morris, citrus category director for Homegrown Organic Farms, says that they probably lost 30 to 40% of their grape crop that they had to let go. As for supplies, they will be packing through October, but they're not sure how far into November they'll get because of that. He adds that they noticed that the red grape varieties look to be more affected by the rains than the green varieties. Morris also notes that while the organic varieties of grapes were not necessarily more affected than conventional varieties, the tools to combat the effects of that moisture do differ and weren't nearly as effective as the solutions on conventional grapes. As for demand, when the rains initially happened, demand stayed steady. It didn't seem to experience the immediate boost you'd normally see after a disaster. After about 10 days to 2 weeks where the industry evaluated where they were, they did notice an uptake in overall demand and the market strengthened as well. However, he notes that it's not just dollars back to the growers, it's also going towards covering harvesting costs that have jumped by at least 50% on significantly less yields. Where does that leave pricing? The pricing level right now at retail still makes a lot of sense. If it was to jump significantly from where it currently is, that might slow movement, which is something they don't want, he says. In fact, the concern now lies with retailers looking for other grape solutions following this situation. However, they still have a lot of good fruit out there, so they want to make sure that they move the crop appropriately. He notes it is currently packing Scarlet Royal and Allison on red grapes and Great Green and Kelly on green grapes. They have a lot of good grapes available to take them through the next 6 to 7 weeks of the season, so it's not time to slow down. The company is headquartered in Porterville. The International Fresh Produce Association is extending its condolences to the family, friends, and colleagues of California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who passed away late last week. The senator was known for collaboration across the aisle, was a longtime and tireless champion of fresh fruits and vegetables in public policy, as well as a powerful and respected advocate of other agricultural issues affecting not only her home state, but also the specialty crop industry as a whole, according to IFPA. Senator Feinstein spearheaded efforts to pass agriculture immigration reform and played an integral part in the passage of the last comprehensive immigration bill to pass the Senate. IFPA joins the many who are grateful for the senator's leadership and advocacy for the industry and agricultural community. She passed away in her home in Washington, D.C. last week as a result of ongoing health issues.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
We have today part two of our monthly walnut regulatory update from California Walnut Commission Director of Technical and Regulatory Affairs Josh Ram. In the area of ag funding, USDA recently announced a large conservation innovation grant for climate smart agriculture, which is being made available to growers, including those of walnuts.
USDA recently announced availability of up to $65 million through two funding opportunities for new tools, approaches, practices, and technologies to further natural resource conservation on private lands. That's, again, through the NRCS Conservation Innovation Grants, or CIG, program. There's two separate CIG funding opportunities now available on grants.gov. There's $50 million, up to $50 million through the CIG on-farm trials. These awards range from $250,000 to $5 million, and $15 million is available through the CIG Classic, which awards range from $250,000 to $2 million. For-profit entities are eligible for on-farm trials if their primary business is related to agriculture. Nonprofit entities are also eligible for on-farm trials if they have experience working with agricultural producers. A couple other things in terms of what would qualify for these programs, for these grants, the CIG on-farm trials, the funding priorities are including but not limited to irrigation water management technologies, nutrient management, feeding management, and methane reduction, grazing lands, also soil health demonstration trials. For the CIG Classic, the funding priorities this year are forestry, habitat conservation and restoration, managing agricultural lands to improve local water quality, energy conservation, economics, and strengthening conservation through indigenous knowledge. So as I said, those are the bucketed priority items. If you have questions on what could or couldn't be included, there's a full list at grants.gov, and type in CIG in the search box and they will be the top two opportunities posted on the list. These applications are being accepted now through October 30th. So go to that grants.gov website, type in CIG for more information.
DPR also released a new draft strategic plan for sustainable pest management, which ties in with its sustainable pest management roadmap unveiled earlier this year.
The DPR strategic plan, it's really reflecting a sustainable pest management approach. You can see that theme throughout. That was recently released, 2024 through 2028 years of focus. They basically highlight four major goals and 18 measurable sub-goals as priorities over that five-year timeline. Real general right now, the goals are increasing access to safe, effective, sustainable pest management. The second is to track, evaluate, and enforce safer pesticide use, followed by fostering engagement, collaboration, and transparency, and promoting excellence and innovation. As mentioned, there's a number of sub-goals that require further clarity and direction, and the DPR is actually going to be hosting public meetings regarding feedback opportunities for those of interest. Meetings are scheduled in early October, October 2nd on Zoom. The 3rd, there's an in-person workshop and listening session in Tulare. The 4th of October in Watsonville, an in-person meeting, and 6th via Zoom. So you can also submit comments no later than October 20th on DPR's website. Really, a big thing here is encouraging industry members to attend at least one of the meetings and provide feedback to ensure those optimal outcomes for any of your businesses and areas of impact. The California Walnut Commission is going to be attending and commenting on the matter in the best interests of the growers and industry across the state, with the intent of ensuring optimal outcomes for all. For this, you can go to www.cdpr.ca.gov and type in strategic plan in the search box for more information. And looking forward to seeing you at one of the upcoming meetings.
One thing to note, DPR yesterday has changed the dates of the upcoming public meetings for the 2024 to 28 strategic plan. They're now taking place October 19th via Zoom, October 30th in person in Watsonville, California. November 3rd via Zoom and November 6th in person in Tulare, California. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
2023 production and price forecasts for almonds, walnuts, and hazelnuts indicate trends going in opposite directions. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
A look at this year's major U.S. tree nut production and prices can be summed up this way by USDA economic researcher Seth Wetchler.
I think the story for 2023 is that nut production's up, but the prices received by domestic nut growers are way, way down.
Almond production is forecasted at its third highest total on record, despite this year's crops having the lowest yields observed since 2006. Coupled with high ending stocks, and almond prices are expected to remain low. As for walnuts,
walnut acreage actually decreased for the first time since about the turn of the century, 2023. That's because walnut prices are really historically low.
Yet walnut production is record-tying, matching 2020's all-time high crop. Wetchler adds objective yield results were not available for hazelnuts, but based on historical trends and industry sources,
it is our sense that this year's crop should be a big one.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Looking for less secrecy in a crop insurance program, Representatives Earl Blumenauer, a Democrat from Oregon, and Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, have introduced the Crop Insurance Transparency Act. If passed, it would require USDA to publicly disclose the names of producers and insurers who receive federal crop insurance subsidies and the amount received. At a time when federal crop insurance payments are at an all-time high, it is an abject failure that a majority of small farmers and ranchers do not even have access to the crop insurance safety net, that according to Blumenauer. Reform begins with accurate and transparent information. Norman adds that one-third of all crop insurance subsidies don't make it to farmers, but instead go to massive insurance companies. Millionaires and billionaires are likely receiving crop insurance subsidies at a time when most farmers are struggling to get by, that according to Scott Fraber of the Environmental Working Group. He says it's time to lift this veil of secrecy. A coalition of 16 state attorneys general have sent letters to congressional leadership regarding the EATS Act. Sponsors of the Ending Agricultural Trade Suppression Act have positioned a bill as a regulatory solution, but it will undermine states' rights to regulate agriculture within their local jurisdictions and nullify numerous state and local laws that already exist. Those hundreds of laws that would be invalidated support family beef, dairy, egg, and pork producers, as well as hundreds of laws related to food safety and invasive pest control. The letter states that for over 200 years, state and local governments have been responsible for ensuring that there is a safe and healthy food supply for their consumers and that locally sold farm products are governed by locally accountable elected officials. A federal judge has denied a request to block a federal rule change related to farm worker wages. The judge's order denied USA Farm Labor and other plaintiffs' motions for a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction. Alex Cracchiolo, head of marketing at USA Farm Labor, says the rule change will mean increase in costs of thousands of dollars every year.
If you are hiring H-2A workers to do things like picking, probably you're going to be unaffected by it. But however, if you're planning on having workers come over and do things like harvesting your crops and then transporting them to a local elevator, if you're doing any sort of trucking over the road, especially if it requires a CDL, a lot of times those occupations would get flagged and assigned a significantly higher wage rate.
With the rule change, he has seen wage rates jump by $8 to $10 an hour. Small farms and agribusinesses cannot afford that.
Absolutely crazy. And these are people who are really struggling to stay profitable as it is just because of the prices of commodities on top of their own operating costs already. So we looked at this and we're like, we have to do something for the sake of our customers here because this rule is absolutely damaging.
While the judge denied the request, he also rejected the Labor Department's motion to dismiss the case. Plaintiffs can proceed with a standard federal court timeline. The Farm Foundation online forum showed just how wide the gap is between Democratic and GOP farm bill priorities and how tough it will be amid all other hurdles to do a farm bill this year. John Newton is chief economist for Senate Ag Republicans.
Since the last farm bill, farm production expenses have increased by $114 billion. And it's every single category that farmers are paying. They're paying more for fertilizer. paying more for livestock feed, paying more for diesel fuel, paying more for labor, paying more for pesticides. Interest rates are going up at a rapid rate right now.
But economist for Senate Ag Democrats Stephen Wallander says nutrition and other farm revenue streams are his side's priorities.
So when you have that additional spending in SNAP benefits and other nutrition programs, right, those are creating tens of thousands of real jobs. An extra $1 billion of spending on SNAP creates over 500 jobs on the farm.
But Newton says that won't matter if farmers go broke.
In 2023, USDA's projection for net farm income and net cash income is going to be the largest decline that we've ever seen in history. In the case of net cash income, even when you adjust for inflation, we're looking at the largest decline that we've ever seen.
And among the declines, an 80% decline in dairy net cash income. Newton says a farm safety net must be addressed now, or producers will have to live with current supports another 5 years.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.